developing their vocabulary is something that they can build on. And if they don't have that, I think that they're going to struggle in reading and writing.
Hey, this is episode 42 of Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12. And today I'm talking with Mrs. Melanie Knight, a first-year middle school teacher at Wheeler County Middle School in Georgia. In our discussion, we focus on vocabulary, relationship building, engagement, and the importance of being open to learning as an adult. Melanie also talks about the role of help and support from the staff at her school, as well as her family during her first year. I think you will find this show engaging and thought-provoking. Thanks for joining me, and enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids!
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. We provide resources and ideas to assist you in working with the kids. This show is published and produced weekly and is interview-based, but sometimes the shows are simply me looking at a topic in depth and detail. If there is a topic you would like me to look into for a future podcast, please let me know at smoleto.hg@gmail.com. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week. I hope that you will share us with colleagues, friends, and family. And most of all, I'm wishing you the very best and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, Steve here with Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12, and today I have with me Mrs. Melanie Knight. Say hi, Melanie.
Hello, everyone.
Melanie, I'm so glad that you gave me a chance to talk with you and get our audience to hear from you. We have, what I'd like you to do first is just tell our audience who you are and what you do.
I am Melanie Knight, and I teach at Wheeler County Middle School. I teach language arts and reading.
Excellent. Now add to that, how long have you been teaching?
This is my first year.
Excellent. Where did you graduate from? What program did you go through?
I started out getting my two-year degree at Middle Georgia College, and then I finished up my last 2 years at Bruton Parker.
Excellent. So, and where's Bruton Parker?
In Mount Vernon.
Very cool. This is, and just to remind everybody, we're in Georgia, and because I know I got people listening from all over, from I got some listeners out in California, all the way across to many different places on the East Coast, including Florida. So just wanted to let everybody know where we are. So, well, cool, excellent. Now I got to ask you something else, because before we go any further, now you're connected to this community, right?
Yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit about that.
My father actually was superintendent at the school. I graduated from this high school, and my mother taught here, and my grandfather was superintendent here, so it's a long line of teaching in my family.
That's cool. So now I got to ask, so you went to school here, which
yes,
means
sir.
That are you working with people who taught you?
Yes, I am. One of my mentors is Ms. Routh, and she actually taught me in high school here.
Oh, very cool. So that's going to be neat. I kept moving. I didn't ever want to. I don't know what that would be like. I kept moving around and just, that would be pretty wild.
And so, I actually don't live in this community anymore, but I drive here every day just to work here where I went to school.
Oh, that is excellent. That is excellent. So what I'd like to do now is let's talk about what lessons would you say that you learned about teaching from the start?
Most of all, have learned from my students more lessons than from anyone. And I've had a lot of mentor teachers that have really helped me out and given me some great advice.
Nice. So Can I share with us some of that advice? Because you know it's pretty cool. I've had just for the audience's sake, you don't know this, but I mean I've had a chance to watch Melanie teach. She does an awesome job, and it's pretty cool because she uses some strategies and a first year teacher doesn't tend to use. And I'm really impressed by that, as well as she's developed rapport and connectivity with the kids. And this is what brought about us talking. And so let's kind of go back to what I asked, which is, so tell me a little bit more about, those lessons that you're learning from
One of the major things I share in my classroom, and it's displayed on my wall, is my tip charts. And that's terms, information, pictures, and sentences. And I do a terms tip wall, and I do a vocabulary tips wall. And we do it as kind of a competition type thing in my classroom, which I learned from the kids to get them more interested. I noticed I needed to get their attention more and their interest into it. So we do a competition every week with our vocabulary. We get the words, and then for homework one night, they do a poster including the tips, the term, information, picture, and sentence. Then they bring it back to class, and we compete on whose poster needs to be displayed on the wall.
Very nice. And by the way, for the listeners, I'll have pictures of this wall and some of what the kids have created on the show notes for this episode. So let's talk just a little bit about, in going with this, and what I hear you talking about is that you're focused on helping them learn the words of the class. And so it's not just you spend time with them working on the words. They have to, they actually draw a picture of what they think it means and so forth. So why do you do that?
I think that it makes them recognize it, their words in their reading more, when they really interact with the words and not just memorize them for the test and keep moving on. When they really use the words and see them displayed all the time, they recognize them more. I've noticed them, they will come up to me with their reading books that they get from the media center and say, "Miss Knight, we found one of our words, one of our vocabulary words in our reading." And then they've been using them so much in their writing every week. Even on quick writes, they use them. Today we had a quick write that we did, and I saw so many of our vocabulary words that we've learned this year in that one quick write, and it made me so happy to see that used.
Very neat. You know, it's what's really cool is that it takes, you have to spend time with kids and being purposeful about words, and you're doing that. Are there any other reasons why you think first-year teacher should learn how to use these coming in the classroom, these strategies?
I think that there's many different strategies that I've learned, but this one especially is very important, I think, because developing their vocabulary is something that they can build on. And if they don't have that, I think that they're going to struggle in reading and writing.
One of the other things that I think is really cool is when I observe you teach is that you have a very good rapport with the kids, and it's very apparent. You interact with them very well, and they smile and have fun, and they're doing this, that, and the other as you have these different activities going on. Talk a little bit about that. Was that easy for you to develop that rapport? Was it difficult? How do you connect with the kids?
I think my classroom just being, it's very colorful, very bright. All of my colors are neon. I try to provide a welcoming environment, but I'm very structured and organized. And I think that gives kids something to, they really connect with that. They want a structure. They want organization. And I'm very friendly with them. I'm very strict in my classroom. They know all of the rules, but I'm very friendly because they do need someone that they can go to when they need help.
Excellent. Well, it shows. I mean, you have the kids interact with you, and they do what you want them to do. You have lots of things happening, and it's awesome to see that interaction. Tell me a little bit about this. What if you were to reflect back on what was the most helpful aspect so far? Because right now, we're recording this. It's December, so you're halfway through your first year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's probably been the most helpful thing to you in your progress so far? I mean, I know that's a great word to be using when I'm talking to someone who teaches vocabulary. Mm-hmm. That's good, Steve. What's something that's been very helpful in helping you teach?
I think all the support from the faculty and staff here at the school I work at, also from my family. As I said, my family's been in education, and I'll take ideas home that I've came up with, and we'll bounce them off of one another, and I'll share them with my family and get advice from my mom, which was a third grade teacher. But it's helpful to have someone to talk ideas out, and that really helps me to build on them and make them bigger.
Very nice. And I've also got to remind listeners that now you're teaching middle school, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I taught high school kids for a long time. Tell me what a challenge is, you know, because I got to tell you, a lot of teachers go middle school. Yeah. Give me the elementary kids, or I'll deal high school kids, but I don't know about middle school. So tell me about middle school. What do you like about it?
From the day I got my degree, everyone was asking me, what in the world are you doing going for middle school?
But see, that's what I'm talking about, all right?
But I love it. It's a challenge, I will admit. It is a challenge daily, but they keep you on your toes. They give you something to look forward to coming to school for every day. You know that it's going to be an adventure. And with a positive attitude, I think, that I try to maintain all the time in my classroom, I think that that encourages these kids, and I want to make a difference in a child's life. And I think middle school was the place for me.
Excellent, excellent. That's too cool, because I just know that I've had colleagues, you know, when I was a high school teacher, and they would say things like, I'm not going anywhere near that middle school.
Yes.
So that's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your classroom for a minute, because first of all, I know you can't see it right now, but take a look at the show notes. I'm going to have pictures. Very bright and very colorful. I guess those are too close. The words kind of close together there, but bright colors in the room. And one of the things that is very apparent is that you have this bright neon green rug in the front of the classroom closest to the board. Tell me about the rug.
I did that for a warming environment. I always want my students to feel welcome and upbeat in my classroom, and the kids love the rug. They always beg to come up and sit on the rug, and when we have something displayed on the board, even though they can see from their seats, they just want to sit on the rug. That makes them, I think, they feel comfortable in the class, and they're ready and eager to learn.
Very nice. So let's talk about something that you said just a little bit. It makes it comfortable for them to learn. Why do you think that's important?
I think because when kids are scared, they just shut down. I think that they want that that warm feeling that they can open up and they feel comfortable, like they can open a good book and sit there and read just like they would do at home.
Very nice, very nice. And it does make it warm and inviting, and it's a neat strategy, and it's awesome to see you using that in the middle school classroom. Now, did you get the idea for the rug from somebody else, or did it just something that you came up with on your own? You watched somebody else, you had a mentor in the past. Tell me about that.
I did see it on Pinterest. I get a lot of ideas from there, especially the colorful idea of my classroom. I wanted something, you know, that was appropriate for middle school, and they're not into, you know, all the little kid displays at the teacher supply store. So I had to do something creative.
Very nice. So talk a little bit about, so you get ideas on Pinterest. Let's talk about that a little bit. Because one of the cool things, I wish I had the social media access like we do today when I was teaching. Because to me, it's just amazing what's out there on Pinterest. Talk a little bit about what the ideas that you're getting.
Yes, Pinterest is a lifesaver. I love, and we are able to access that at our school. And I think that's wonderful for the teachers to have that to go to. Even when I'm like stuck on an activity, like figurative language, for example, the past week I was working on that, and I wanted the kids to do something fun and creative with it so they would really remember it. Because when you just give them a test, I don't think that they get it. Because anyone can memorize information and then
right,
provide it back. I want them to get something they can remember. So I got an idea off of Pinterest where they drew a map using and talked about the different figurative language, and they really enjoyed that.
Very nice. I'm amazed at how many different creative ideas that are out there on Pinterest. There are teachers just uploading all kinds of stuff, as well as connecting you with different information and sharing their ideas, taking pictures in their classrooms and so forth. And that's neat that you use it, because that's one of the things that I share with teachers that I come in contact with, is take a look at this. And I share it with principals too. It's like, you know, you got to take a look at this, share it with your staff, look at what they could be doing with or finding help and support just simply by, you know, go in there and go into the search engine on Pinterest. And so, by the way, I have not been paid by Pinterest, so it's just a cool device. So that's neat that you use that to support you. Tell me a little bit about it. You know, as you're in your, you know, the middle of your first year, talk a little bit about what advice you would give to somebody who was just, you know, they're getting ready to be a brand new teacher. What would be the, you know, the biggest lesson you learned coming through the doors on the first day? What's something that you would tell somebody that you wish you would have done differently, or something you're glad you did it that way, that type of thing?
I would say that I'm very thankful that I was open to ideas from other teachers, from my students especially. Being open to learning. Just because you've gotten your degree, I think you still have so much to learn your first year, and you learn from everyone around you. So just be open to that.
Very nice. One of the things that I've also seen you, one of the things, there I go again with those very specific descriptive words. I did it again. Let me try this one again. I've seen you using computers with, you know, these classroom sets with the kids. Talk about what you're doing. And I've got some other questions to go with that, but tell me what that was all about.
We are very thankful to have a class set this year of computers in our room, of laptops, and the kids. We always write on paper, but the kids this year have been able to do their typing of their papers on the computer. We've been able to do research and all types of different things that we weren't able to do in the past without those class sets of computers. And I think with technology advancing the way it is now, students really need to have that access, all, you know, and that's how they love technology. So I think that that inspires them to try harder and to learn with that technology at hand.
Very cool. So it acts as, it helps in, with the engagement, yes, is what you're saying. It gets them interested in what you're doing. And,
yes,
and that's pretty cool. And I watched you using that with them, and they were definitely focused on trying to do that. Along with that, I want to use that to take a step just to say that it's pretty cool because her classroom has lots of technology in it. You have a smart board at the front, and then you have those computers. Do you find that the technology is a good tool to have with kids?
Yes, it is. They can relate to it because as soon as they go home, most of them, that's the first thing they do is pick up a cell phone or iPod or something. So it is very useful. We do a lot of fun, interesting things. Even the kids teach me new tricks with the smart board every day. They say, Miss Knight, you didn't know how to use this correctly. So they teach me how to do things.
Very nice. Far cry from, I can remember the, okay, now this is really going to date me. They, you know, I do have to say there was electricity when I was teaching, okay? But we had the, you know, there weren't even video, you know, VCRs. It was movie projectors. And I can remember having to learn how to do that. And the kids would always go, step aside.
Yes.
I can do this faster than you, Ms. Milotto. So it's just funny. You got a more modern version of that.
Yes.
Step aside. We got this. We got apps down. I like that. Very cool. So talk a little bit about one of the things that I'd like to do is just kind of get you to reflect a little bit. If and this is kind of off a little bit of what we're talking about. But if there was something that you wish you had gotten more training in, what would it have been? And, well, let's just go with that.
I think with the standards, I struggle with making sure that I apply everything that I should with the standards. We didn't really do a lot of training on that. And I think everyone could do more with that. And also another thing is that I try my best at, but I think everyone struggles with, is differentiation. We didn't get a lot of training on that in school, and I think that that's something we need more training on.
Very nice. I know that as a note, you know, it's it is tough to do differentiation, and
yes,
you know, and just talking about differentiation for a minute, not only is it tough doing that, it's it takes time, and you need to have a good eye for creating those situations, not forcing it into everything, because it doesn't need to be forced into everything. But, you know, and when we're talking about differentiation, I mean, the basic focus that I have on that is looking at gathering information about students' performance and then using it to adjust instruction. And that does take time because you're personalizing for the individual student. So that's a good point that lots of the programs could learn to spend a little bit more time with that. Now, I got to tell you, that's one of the things where Pinterest can help too, though.
Yes.
Back to Pinterest. And I've discovered that there are a lot of teachers who've posted some very helpful activities on there for that. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's not fun. And just as a note, the standards, yes, because that's, you know, even if they change a little bit from where we are right now, we are talking about looking at, you know, it's just as a note, I hate to keep doing this, but when I started teaching, we had these things called QCCs. And mm-hmm. I was a brand new teacher, and I said to my department chair, I said, so how do I know what I needed to start teaching? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, here. And she pulled these notebooks off this shelf. And they'd been up there for a while. I'm not too sure that somebody had removed them anytime recently. And she said, just take a close look and go in there. And she goes, you got any questions? Come back to me and I'll help you. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny because, as a note, I taught world history. And in those days, the world history section said, you know, for example, I had to teach about Rome, the rise and fall of Rome. Well, that's what it said. It said, teach the significance of the rise and fall of Rome. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I could spend years, mm-hmm. not weeks, not just days. I could spend years on that. And that's how specific it was, mm-hmm. which is not very.
No.
So, you know, it's one of the things getting used to the standards mm-hmm. because they've come a long way from those days. They're a lot better. Although I still think in some of the high school history areas, there may still be some things like, discuss the significance of the rise and fall of Rome. Good luck is basically what it's saying. Try and get that in just a short period of time. So thanks for sharing that. So is there anything that you'd like to share before we close? Because we're getting close to finishing up. Is there anything that you'd like to share we haven't talked about?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you some other questions. So one of the things that I think is neat is that you're very organized. You have different place. Everything has its place. You have different aspects of, you know, the routines and procedures. When I've seen you teach, the kids know what happens when and where things go. For example, you have folders on your wall where they go, where you have different, you know, their pockets for different reasons. You have nice, colorful, bright, shiny a pencil cup that says sharpen me, and you have markers, highlighters, and then you have just supplies. But everything has its place. Talk a little bit about, first of all, everything having its place, and then I want to talk to you about routines and procedures for a minute.
Okay. Yes, everything, all the students know where everything goes in the classroom. We even stack our books a certain way under our desk. But everything's color-coded by class. I teach three different groups of students, so they each have their color. And they know that where their folders go. We have every class display beside my desk, there's folders for every class to put their finished work, and they know when they get finished with an assignment, it goes in their color-coded box. And then we have a while you were out folder, and that's for absent students. They know where to go find their work from where they were absent the day before. We have a resource center that Dr. Mileto was talking about, and that's where I've provided materials for the students to use in my class, highlighters, scissors, rulers, hole punchers, pencils, because everyone forgets their pencil every now and then. And then we have our bookshelf and magazine shelf where they can go and freely look at anything in my room. We also have a conference center where if students need to talk with me, we go sit down and we share he or she whatever they need to share with me or talk about, maybe a paper that needs editing. We sit at the conference center.
Excellent. And it's, you know, one of the things that I've learned over time is that when I'm working to help teachers who struggle, one of the things that I find is that they typically don't have those types of routines and procedures, and everything doesn't have its place. And it's, I've been able, you don't just have it there, you use it. I've seen you use it. I've seen the kids, they know what to do. And that's the benefit of that, is that the kids know what to do. And so it doesn't cause a disruption or something like that. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. Tell me real quick, just as a side note, when you go to start class, what do you do?
At the beginning of class, we always do silent reading. That gets the kids in their desk, getting their materials out quietly so that we can start off the class quiet and fresh and everybody's in their spot. And that gives me a chance to check roll and do all the things I need to do and get class started off with a bang.
Very cool. So the kids know what you're going to do when they walk in. They need to get started reading, and then you do those things.
Yes.
So did you just come up with that, or how did you?
Well, I talked with it in the curriculum director. She was a previous teacher of mine, too, at the beginning, during the summer. And I was just asking some advice of what she recommended, because she was my English teacher when I was in high school. And she recommended that that's a good way to start off the day. That gets everyone in their place. That gives you a chance to get everything settled from the previous class. And I think that's just a good way to start off things.
Very nice. So tell me, one of the things that you just made me think of that you're talking about is in working with the kids, and I watched in teaching, you had several transitions. You went from an activity at the desk to that they were working on, some sort of guided activity, to a presentation they actually had to do, and you actually transitioned to computers as well. Do you ever have a time, because, you know, they are kids, do you ever have a time where you have to kind of get their attention to get them refocused? Because I didn't see you have to do that. You kind of, those transitions went smoothly. And even though the kids were getting ready to talk in front of the class and be goofy because they had to act out something, the other kids had to guess what it was that they were doing, which right now there are a bunch of middle school teachers cringing with the thought that, oh my gosh, you let them do something like that?
Yes.
Simply because you didn't have to get control of them back. But my point is do you have a routine that you use to kind of get their attention back on what they're trying to do?
I do. I have a routine, but also I think it started off with at the beginning of the year when I started off so structured and organized, and the kids know that that's just who I am, and they respect that. They respect that they pay attention when I, all I have to do is hold my hand up with a 5 and we count down. I don't even say anything. We just count down, and they know by the time we get to 0 that everyone's supposed to be in their spot, wherever they're supposed to be, and quiet.
Very nice. That's awesome. And I got to reemphasize something that you just said, which is you started off at the beginning of the
yes.
year, and by starting off structured like that,
mm-hmm.
it's paying off now, because
yes.
right now they're getting excited because the weather's gotten nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a holiday coming up. And, you know, I'm sure some of their thoughts are like, oh, I could be outside running around right
yes.
now.
Yes, and I understand that they are children, because I try to always picture myself being there, because I was once there too, and I know that school can be trying sometimes, but you just have to, I think, and too, that I respect the students and they respect me, and we have that level of respect for each other, and they respect that.
Very nice. So what I would like to do is finish up with this question. If you were to reflect back on K through 12 and you had a teacher that you would say thank you to today, who would it be and what would you say?
Not everyone gets to say this, but I would be thankful for my mom. She taught me in third grade.
Oh, very cool.
And mainly because she taught me not like I was her daughter. She showed no difference in her students. She taught me to always be show that you are equal to everyone, not show favoritism just to me because I was her daughter, but she treated me just like I was one of her students, and I thank her for that.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, and you're right, not everyone can say that.
No.
That's a very unique thing. Well, Melanie, I can't thank you enough for spending time with me today. I appreciate it, and I wish you the best for the rest of your first year, and you're doing some great things, and just keep up the great work, and you're making a fantastic impact on the kids that you work with.
Thank you. I'm very honored to have you here in my classroom.
Appreciate it. Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes Store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.